You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and good evening and welcome to the Rangers Rabble podcast. It's the Monday night phone and you know the drill by now. 01416287237. Get your calls in. Whether you want to talk about Saturday's dumb demolition of Hearts or you want to look forward to Wednesday's trip to Rugby Park, speak with the new recruits, the manager. We're here for you and this show is all about you guys, so do get involved. If you're joining us on YouTube, as always, like, subscribe, tell your pals, get some comments in as well. Producer will fire them up and we'll have a good chat about them. Listen, look at this stellar cast. Thank you for the good laugh before we came on. That's why my face is rather red. Nothing to do with the sunbiz. I've been hammering all week. Wilf, how you doing?
Not bad, Robert. Nice to see you get back to sunny Donny in one piece after your son going up the road on Saturday. It was rather nice to see you. I couldn't quite spot your teeth in the blue one. I did have a look, but I didn't quite see them. But yeah, I'm all good, mate. Thanks.
It was a great trip. I'm sure we'll go on to that in a bit more detail as the show goes on. Connor, you're a bit of a late sub tonight, but delighted you could join us. How are we doing?
I was indeed, aye. No, top form, absolutely. Likewise, I think the television cameras clearly were avoiding the Brimelow stand in case the glare was going to cause problems.
Just get them all out of the way. Nice and early. Brian, is it a full house or are you going to be kind to me?
Yeah, I'll just be kind. Yeah, I'll be slightly different. Yeah. It's been a good weekend. It was nearly an even better weekend, but we just go one game at a time.
So we can do, it certainly is. I have to say, you couldn't have told me that at 3:30 on Saturday afternoon because I was in full voice singing all the songs and reminiscing of my childhood. As I say, yeah, get your calls in. You can see the phone lines are open, 01416287237. You could be the first one on tonight's show. Wilf, let's go for Saturday then, because I dare say, and I'm going to put my neck on the line here and say that was domestically performance of the season.
I would say it's the performance of the season without any question, domestically or otherwise. First half was fantastic. Second half, fell off a little bit, but when you make all the substitutions, that's almost going to happen. The first half was absolutely sublime. I mean, it was three going on, quite a few more. I mean, it was just, and the goals were fantastic. I mean, the goals, early goal completely makes a mess of their game plan. Whatever their game plan is, it's not to attack us. So the early goals, an early goal really makes a mess of that. And then we did what we really tend to struggle to do. We got the second goal. Because quite often, you know, we're getting at half-time a goal up when the team thinks, well, the opposition think, well, you know, we're still in this, but we really shouldn't be come out of a goal. And many times do we slip up in that regard. We got the second goal, and then right on half-time we got the third one. And there were three cracking goals as well. So, absolutely fantastic performance. No failures for me. You know, I mean, the usual people were asking who your man of the match was. And it was all up where I was. It was all sort of different views. And you can make an argument for probably every single one that was suggested. It was a really, really good performance.
Connor, I dare say, come 5-3, you'd have better the handoff for a 1-0. No one quite saw that performance coming. Or did they?
I mean, no, I think, you know, I said last week when we were talking about the games coming up, you know, about the fact that Hearts at home and obviously Kelly during the week, and I did say that I was a lot more comfortable and confident about playing Hearts in at 3 o'clock on Saturday and then going to Rugby Park on a Wednesday night, and it proved to be the case. I think, you know, it's like Will said, we went out there and we caught them straight away because, look, Hearts have been, you know, the informed team. There's no getting away from that. You know, as much as I don't think there's anybody who's a member of the Stephen A. Smith fan club on here, he has sort of turned a corner with him, so we expected, oh, this could be difficult, but we handled it brilliantly, and we went straight after them. The quality of the goals, I must say, I think all of them were good goals, maybe barring the Dessers second one, which is a sort of scrappy goal, but the quality was there, and it looked like we looked like a team full of confidence, and we looked like a team who, doesn't matter who we were playing on Saturday, we were going to help them.
Brian, as the boys mentioned there, you know, the quality of the goals, but just that first one, that the manager sort of maybe dug it out actually in his post-match, just saying, you know, how important it was that we got that, and it sort of settled us into the game, and, you know, it's a great strike again from Diamandi.
Yeah, last week it was his right foot and this week it was his left foot, so the guy's got everything. I'm pleased for him. I'm even more pleased for Cortez because I think he's been trying a little bit hard the last few games, trying to, you know, make something happen. And that was an absolutely sublime finish he had for the second goal. Didn't even take a touch, just strode onto it and tucked it in the corner. So it was I'm pleased for the two new guys to sort of get off the mark. And obviously Silva's scored a few now, so they're all buzzing now. They're fully integrated into the team. And I must admit, we were going down on Saturday and we were kind of thinking it might be an edgy sort of 1-2-0 sort of scoreline. But as Wolf said, we scored early doors and that threw their game plan completely out the window. And we took full advantage and smelt blood and went for them. So, as Connors has said, Hearts were the form team in Scotland. And I never envisaged beating them by five. But it was a five-star performance from a team full of confidence.
Yeah, here. I'll go along with that. Well, quite telling, actually, the manager, he was asked, you know, did you get everything you asked for from your team today? And he sort of said, not everything. He said it was, you know, he'd have preferred not to have less shots against us in the second half. But as I think it was yourself or Brian maybe alluded to earlier on there, that the changes sort of played into that.
Yeah, I mean, when you change it about, that's going to happen. But I mean, he took advantage of the fact that we were very, very comfortable very early in the game to make substitutions, give more people game time, which is what he really has to do. I mean, the way that the manager utilizes the squad, I think it's fantastic. I was just saying to somebody earlier on today that I'm absolutely convinced that he sat the squad down and said, "Listen, we don't play 11 man games. It's a 16 man game. Every single player, we're going to use the five subs. Everybody is going to play a part in the game. You know, we're going to get game time. If I'm telling you, you're on the bench, you're going to get 20 minutes, you'll get your 20 minutes, unless it goes absolutely fucking, you know, absolutely haywire, something goes wrong on the pitch. Because he's got a one for everybody that comes off. We've commented on that so many times. And the substitutes he brings on, you sometimes wonder, what's he doing? Why is he bringing this guy on in this position? But it always seems to work. They all seem to know what they're doing. And it's all about, I mean, I remember not long after he came in, he said he was shocked with the state of the fitness. He wanted them all up to the same level of fitness. And I think that the way that he's managing the minutes, he's slowly getting them all to the same level of fitness, as much as he can, obviously, with a few injured players and stuff like that. And I think come the split, we should have, hopefully, a fit, healthy and firing squad, with everybody absolutely champing at the bit to get going. And I think he's one of these managers that, he's never going to come out and say, "Look, yeah, I got everything I wanted. I'm totally satisfied. There's nothing else we could have given them." I just think that's the type of guy he is. You know, there's previous managers and other teams that will say, "Oh, well, we were magnificent. Everything we wanted to do, we did. We got everything." He'll never, ever say that, I don't think.
No, he's probably trying to keep the players on their toes as well, somewhat. Connor, just on what Wilf was talking about there, about using the squad and, you know, he's had words with the players. I think that was quite evident, actually, when Cyril Dessers came out to talk to the press after the victory. He sort of said that the manager spoke to him about his role with Fabio Silva, how they're going to be in and out. He said sometimes it's not ideal when he used the word hungry. Scored a couple, obviously, at the weekend, got took off. But you saw the manager straight in, arm round him, telling him this and this, that, this and that, and just keeping him, you know, fresh and onside. It's great man management.
It's terrific man management. But that's been one of the hallmarks of Philip Clement's tenure since he came in the door. You know, we've seen him do it with Todd Cantwell as well. One of his early games when he hooked him, and you know, there was maybe some questions what was going on there, and you know, particularly in Scotland and in Glasgow with the media, that could have been blown totally out of proportion, and there could have been a whole, you know, hoo ha made about that, and it was all shut down because of the way he handled and just had the conversation with Todd Cantwell. And it was just a case of, look, you need to be doing the roles I'm asking you to do and showing that he believes in the players and putting the arm around them. And he's been doing that. And I think Dessers, as you say there, is another example. I mean, it's funny because I don't think any of us have been massively convinced by him. And yet the chances are he's going to be finishing this season with more than 20 goals for us, because that's 16 he's on there. Unless he somehow doesn't score four goals between now and the end of the season, he'll reach a 20 mark. So, and most of that's came in Clement's era. Look, he still has these moments when he maybe overthinks things when he's got too much time, but ultimately, he's producing the goods, and the hunger and the confidence seems to be there, because that's 2 weeks in a row. He's got a brace for us now as well, having not actually scored a brace before. I think that's just the effect Clement's had. He's got everybody pulling in the same direction, and they're all hungry to, you know, compete and be in the starting lineup. And that's what you want.
Excellent. Got a first call tonight, lads. Jim and Kirky. Jim, how you doing?
I'm fine. What about yourself?
They're smashing, mate. Aye, good weekend of it, and obviously kicking off the week with the 4-in. So what's your point for the guys?
That's fantastic. Just a couple of quick points. My first thing's about Saturday was that I was very confident Rangers would do the business, and they did do that. And it was Todd Cantwell, Todd being the absent, so to speak. And I think it's his volumes of the team as a whole when he wasn't missed at all. I mean, you wouldn't know, you know, Tom Lawrence was excellent. The whole team was excellent. I thought Rangers were absolutely outstanding. And I think also on Wednesday, we'll take another four AFCON Marnock as well down there. I think that Rangers team was outstanding. It looked like a team for the past, if you like. Just everything about them was superb, and they deserve all the credit they've got. And my last point is, it's more so a question, just getting back a wee bit when we used to kind of talk about left-sided centre-halves, and I think everybody was in agreement, including myself, that John Sewer couldn't do that role. I just wonder, because I've certainly changed my mind, is he now ahead of Balogun? Is he now a starter for Rangers going forward? Obviously, Balogun's not 100% fit, but if he was, do you think the jersey would still stick with John Sutter? That's my point tonight, lads.
Smashing. Let's take them one by one then, Brian. We'll start with Cantwell, because obviously Lawrence coming in, they are two different types of players, but they've been both so effective when called upon.
Absolutely. And as Jim's saying, Cantwell was, you wouldn't have, well, he certainly wasn't missed because we've won 5-0. But obviously, that was obviously an injury he'd picked up at the previous game up at Perth. So changes had to be made. But as Jim's saying, you know, you got Lawrence coming into the team, doesn't, you know, just slots in and does the job exactly the same. So it's testament to the squad as well that the guys that are waiting in the wings are champing at the bit to sort of make an impact in the team and sort of contribute as well. So yeah, it's just great that they've got a buzz about them. You can see it, the way they play the pass. You know, it's everybody's just dying to play, and that's something that was severely lacking at the start of the season.
Well, if you take up the second part of Jim's point then about Sutter, because I want to talk about Conor Golson later on in the show, but John Sutter has sort of, I think he's probably split the support in a degree. He's been unfortunate with injury. He's been in and out. Obviously, Balogun had a bit of a resurgence before the winter break as well. But would you agree that it's sort of shut to lose now?
Of course, it is. He's the man in possession of the shirt, and he's, as Jim says, he's, you know, he's not doing an awful lot wrong. I feel a bit for John Sutter, because in the last kind of year or so, he's had that horrendous injury that he couldn't get to the bottom of. Then they got to the bottom of it and he suffered another one. You know, then he had a bereavement in his family, you know, which is difficult for anybody to take, particularly a young man. you know, and he's had all sorts of things like that going on in his life. I think now, obviously, the bereavements in the past, I know it's not something you get over straight away, but you know what I mean? It's far enough down the line that it's not, he's managed to kind of find a way of coping with that. He seems to be over his injury problems. So hopefully that's the case, because he's certainly the most athletic centre half we've got. Because when he does his Amoruso runs and goes belting up the park, he never forgets to get back. You know, whereas if Goldson goes for a Maisy, you don't see him coming back, because Goldson's just not got the he's a bit older, so he's not got the pace to get back. Like, but John Souter will go for a big Maisy run. By the way, what a cross he put in for the goal at the weekend as well. I mean, just phenomenal for a centre back. I think his fitness levels are tremendous, and there's a comment there, he's the best centre half that we've got. Not quite sure I agree with that, because I mean, Conor Goldson, he's just incredible. But I mean, to me, they're slightly different types of centre. I think, yeah, to answer Jim's question directly, it's definitely his shot to lose, without any question.
Jim, would you agree with Wilf in the sense that, you know, with Souter, it is the fact that he gives you something offensively almost, because he does come out with the ball. He's put that lovely zinger in for Dessers to go on then with a volley. He's just adding a bit more to his game.
He's just got a really great football brain, Robert. You know, absolute football brain. And, you know, as I said earlier, the point was about being left-sided. You know, remember we were kind of all in agreement that he couldn't play in that left side. So, you know, if he's as good as that on the left side, can you imagine how it would be if he actually played in the right side? To go back to what Wolf said, it was an absolutely incredible ball for Dessers as well. And before I go, guys, I think just another quick point. Do you think with the emergence of Cortez, do you think that would maybe potentially kill the Sima deal at the end of the season? Just your thoughts on that, you know, for the amount of money you'd have to spend on him, and then I'll let you guys go on the rest of your night after that one.
No bother, Conor, you came in on that then. Sima obviously is due back, if reports are believed, in a couple of weeks, but early signs, Oscar Cortez just gets you off the edge of your seat. He's one of them kind of players.
Yeah, he absolutely is. You know, he just, the way he's sort of fitted in so quickly into the team, you'd think he'd been there for months, and he's only had a couple of games under his belt. It's incredible. And again, the finish was, you know, he took that with aplomb. It was a terrific goal. In terms of Sima, well, I think Sima's a terrific player. I think in an ideal world, you'd want to keep him. I actually feel that the decision on the Sima situation probably won't be made until whether or not we win the league. I think that might determine it. I think if we win the league and you get that pot of money there, then it's a no-brainer that you would go for it. I think, you know, so I think we'll just have to wait and see with that one. But there's no reason why you can't have both in the squad, quite frankly, because you want that. If you've got good quality players and you've got a couple of them for the same position, they can battle out with each other, that's what you want. Because we were all concerned when Sima got injured at the AFCON, and we haven't missed him. We have not missed him in the slightest because of what Cortez has been doing, not to mention other players stepping up to the plate as well and doing what needs to be done. So I'd like us to still try and get that deal done. But having Cortez there, I don't think we'd need to get ourselves sort of bent over any kind of barrels to do it. If it's not going to be right financially for us, we won't do it. But hopefully it will be.
We won't be bent over any barrels, Jim. That's what Conor says. Thanks for your call tonight, Jim. Pleasure.
Certainly was.
You
have a great night, guys.
There we go. You can always rely on Jim for a laugh. Listen, hello from Toronto. Hello, how are you doing? Thanks for joining us. Do like and subscribe as always. And get your calls in. You can be next up, 0141 628 7237. Brian, just while we're on the talk about centre halves and John Souter, obviously, Conor Goldson made it 300 appearances at the weekend. He's the quickest player, I believe, to make that milestone in terms of days from his debut. He beats, I think, Tavernier's second, and then David Cooper and Alan McCoy's form. So quite a list. And the front two, we'll leave the captain aside for now, but Goldson and Tavernier have taken some stick in their time since joining the club. And Conor Goldson's probably taken a little bit more this season, having maybe been rushed back initially pre-season. But just he's such a solid, reliable player.
Absolutely. And I think he went something like, was it, I can't remember how many games he went without, you know, missing a game. It was crazy. And I think just his longevity as being available is incredible, regardless of position. Because obviously a centre-half, you're not as, what's the word I'm looking for? You're not as much, you're not using your sort of speed and physicality as much as maybe a midfielder or a forward. But to still be available for selection for that many games in a row, it was quite incredible. As you say, he's taken a little bit of stick, some of it granted, just like Tav, he's taken some stick as well. But at the same time, the contribution that they've made, is you cannot underestimate that sort of level of consistency and value for money as well. I mean, Conor Goldson was three and a half million, and to get 300 appearances out of him already, it's quite incredible. And it's testament to himself as well as being a, you know, obviously when we signed him, he had the heart problem and, you know, everything was still sort of very unsure. And for him to come through all that and play the amount of games that he has is, as I say, it's testament to his own professionalism.
100%, Brian. I couldn't have said it better myself. Listen, we've got another caller. They're coming thick and fast now. Ian's on the line. Ian, welcome to the Ninja Rabble podcast. What's your point tonight?
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Evening, lads. Obviously, I was on like the last time and kind of gave a bit of a not so overconfident prediction. Good God, how wrong was I? I should have gone and said that we were going to stuff those jambos and all that. My goodness. I mean, it was literally, I mean, this was a bit of torture on Saturday because I had the rugby on at the same time on the TV. So I stuck the thing in on the earphones, and forgive my dad, I cheered things and he thought, what was I listening to? It was the goals. And I was like, what the hell's going on? We're beating these lot. It's not even we're 3-0 up and it's not even half time yet. Wow, this was fantastic. But the point is just I mean, you know what it is where can I start? Okay, player wise, I think I've identified that the main player that I do not want to see get any hurt. Lawrence has to be the man because I know people go about Cadwell, but Lawrence just sees passes without even looking at them. And he's just got that vision, and it was his goal. It was his. He provided the pass for the second goal. I don't even think he knew Cortez was there. I just think he telepathically saw him and just said, "Right, have this one." But you know what this team's making me do. I know I said it the week ago about going to the new camp and winning. I mean, geez, I generally believe we could literally take any team on right now, and I would be confident. Heck, if that was us at Wembley yesterday against Liverpool, I feel like we would have won that. We would have showed Chelsea what not being bottled jobs is. That's how confident Big Phil's made me. Give us them all and we'll knock them down.
Well, Tom Lawrence, telepathic powers?
I think it's more down to the work they're doing on the training pitch. I mean, it would be nice if he was telepathic, but I think we're getting to the stage with players because the message appears to be so simple that you know, the managers get the message across the way they need to be. They know where their teammates going to be, so they don't even look up. They just hit it. They just pass it. They just know, you know, if I put the ball into there, he's supposed to be there. And if he's not there, I'm not getting grief for playing the pass because I'm playing the pass I'm supposed to play. My teammate's supposed to be there to meet the pass, whoever the teammate is, depending on obviously who we've selected at that time. But yeah, I suppose it is a bit of telepathy, but it's more that they know where their teammates are supposed to be and they trust them to be there. So they play the passes almost blind, if you like. They don't, you know, they don't panic. They know that if they're under the pump a little bit, you know, they can just say, right, like we said earlier on with John Souter, he can throw a ball on a sixpence. So he knows, well, if I throw this up to the edge of the 18-yard box, that's where Big Cyril's supposed to be. So I'm going to throw it up there, and hopefully he's there. And 9 times out of 10, he is. And it looks like a great ball, and it turns into a goal. But to touch on Ian's other point about us beating absolutely anybody, to be fair, I was like that when we were in the third division. You could have put us up against Brazil and we'd have beat them. And that was where You know what I mean? That was with guys like John Daly playing for us. So, but his enthusiasm is fantastic. And I hope he's right. Let's go on and win absolutely everything. Let's win the league. Let's win the quadruple. Let's win the Eurovision Song Contest. We'll represent Scotland in the Euros. We'll win that as well. You know what I mean? Let's just do the whole lot while we're flying high.
Ian, just obviously, the punters just loving your vibes. So I just want to, do you think Clermont will make many changes on Wednesday night? I know you mentioned Tom Lawrence and you don't want to see him injured. Is that pitch conducive to his recovery, or do you see him? She's maybe putting Silva in the 10. How do you see us looking as we line up Wednesday night?
Oh, you just mentioned Killy and all that, and that Astro pitch and all that. Okay, well, being that Big Phil does like rotation, I wouldn't be surprised if he, like, maybe leaves Lawrence out for this or brings him on. And he perhaps would bring him on towards the end. He does do the rotation thing, but he does it well. Yes, I would. I think I'd like to see... You know what I'd like to see? Silva's... I know Des has got 2 goals on Saturday, but still he has that worry about if he's going to hit it in or not. I still think I want to see Silva start more of those bigger games. I feel like he might start on Wednesday, but I just want to see... It's just... I don't know. I just feel like I could trust him in front of goal a bit more than Des's. I mean, I still haven't got Parkhead out of my head that with Des's and all. I'm still having PTSD from that, so... But on the team, I do think there will be some changes. We have got the game at home, and we have to also factor in the fact that we have got Europe coming round again. That factoring in as well. So the rotations might be a bit more and more heavier now with this coming up. If we're balancing all this plus the cup, but you know what Big Phil's make? He's doing so well. As I see it with some other managers, you can tell that sometimes some managers they hate rotation because they're so rigid with what they want, and you can tell it bothers them. Whereas he's making rotation look like it's easy. He's putting some managers at the minute to shame and all that with how he's waking up still work. And I mean, good God, thank goodness he's our manager, because it's just, you know, I'm laughing at all other managers who whinge about rotation a lot. But it's, I mean, it's just, I might sound like I'm on top of the world here, but it's just, you know, when you beat the third best team on the weekend who had a good run themselves, you just think, right, bring them all on. And I can imagine Benfica on Friday saw that draw and thought, oh, for God's sake, we're going out. Like, so many of our compatriots have perished at Ibrox. It's our turn now. Brilliant.
Ian, delighted to have you on as always, mate. Do call again, all right? He's gone. Is he gone? There we go, then. Conor, I'll come at you actually just on this point that Mark Doyle brings up. Clermont's team selection is so unpredictable. Other managers must hate it. What player do you prepare for? I think you could probably pick the back four, back five. It's the middle to front, where we've got so many options now. You look at the substitutions getting made. There's players coming in with real, real quality.
There certainly is. And that the thing is that sometimes managers have to chop and change, for reasons that are out of their control, whether it's injuries or suspensions, and he's doing it because everybody's in good form right now. And there's not really, you know, whatever changes he makes, you can never really look at it and say, oh, but, you know, that's severely weakened us in this area, what have you, because, you know, we're all in good form. Obviously, they've got different attributes. But I think that's part of the game plan as well, because we do have so many games when you're battling on all fronts, you want to keep everybody fresh. And I think he takes each game on its own merits. I think, you know, he's got enough respect for the opponents we're playing against that he'll approach it differently. So if he thinks that it's a better fit to put, you know, for talking sake, you know, Tom Lawrence in a game, and then the following week he'll maybe drop him and bring in somebody else, then he'll do that. If he feels they're better suited to those games, and I think that's what he's been doing. And I think obviously what's helped him as well is when you've got a player like Dujon Sterling, who, I mean, it's incredible what he's been able to do, because, you know, he was signed as a sort of a backup to Tavernier, in case thing if anything happened, because he was never going to get ahead of him. But for him to be a fullback by trade, and every position he's been asked to play in under Clermont, he's took to it like, you know, but a fish in water. It's brilliant. And then the way he's been playing, particularly the last two games when he's been on the wing, I think he's been really impressive. I almost think he's been better there than he has been when he was in the middle of the park. And he was great there as well. So, you know, I think it's just testament to the way the squad is right now. And of course, the advantage is you're getting players coming back as well for injury, and you want that to, you know, to get as many players fit and ready to go as possible. Obviously, Kemal Roof was back in the bench. Who knows how many appearances we'll get at him before he gets injured, but he can afford to make those changes and keep everybody, you know, ready to go.
No, absolutely. It's interesting. You obviously mentioned Dujon Sterling, because when I was in Edmonton House with McCare and the team came up, and they thought Sterling at right wing, and you're kind of thinking, how's this going to pan out? Maybe I thought they might have been preparing for Alan Forrest at some stage, but obviously he started on the bench for Hearts. But he was just absolutely phenomenal, Dujon Sterling. As Wilf said at the start of the show, you could have named every player for Man of the Match, but I really, he was one that caught the eye. It was great to see him up firsthand and see how you know what he's offering in every position that he plays in, as you say, Connor. So I think he could be a real, real big plus for us in Europe as well. I'm doing a bit of padding here because I think there's a call coming in. I don't want to go to Brian and the call doesn't come in, but we'll go to you, Brian, anyway, and you can have your point. I want to discuss Ridvan Yilmaz. There was a lot of talk during the January window. We had 30 days of it that he was going and he was funding a move for so-and-so. It never happened. And I've got to say, I thought he had his best game in the Rangers jersey at the weekend.
He's slowly gaining that confidence where he's getting game time and he's understanding, you know, where he has to be and, you know, making the right tackles. I never for 1 minute thought he was getting sold. I just couldn't believe that we were going to be leaving ourselves with just Barisic and selling Ridvan. Left back's a precarious position as it is already. So there's no way for me that we were losing Ridvan. 5'7" or 5'8", whatever. He's really started to slot in there perfectly. And I believe you've got a call now, so I'll just stop there.
Well, listen, delighted to say first time caller Heather has joined the Rabble podcast. Heather, what's made you call tonight?
Hi guys, I love the show, so I'm keen to call in. I've been wanting to call in a few times, but I keep missing it, so this is the first time I've been able to watch live. My point tonight is, I know there's a lot of chat about the kind of worry about playing Hearts and Kilmarnock, but I think the way Phil's got the team playing now, I think we'll absolutely hammer them, so much so I wish we were playing Celtic at Parkhead. I think we'd absolutely battle them as well the way we're going, so yeah, I'm just really enjoying it and really enjoying the way Phil's got us playing.
You've got a touch of the Wolves tonight. He had a bit of that just before that last call. Well, it's a point well made, wasn't it? The manager sort of touched on in his post-match as well, but the synergy, bringing that back to Ibrox with the fans, he's got us all believing.
It's brilliant to see. And I know I was a bit worried about Cantwell being out injured, but from what you guys were saying, I agree. I don't think we missed him at all on Saturday.
No, Heather, I think you're 100% right, and that just tells you how good a squad that we've assembled, you know, in a very short time. I mean, the manager's only brought in three players. Those three players all scored on Saturday. You can't ask for more than that. They're all playing really, really well. When he changes the team up, you don't really notice that, you know, the changes. The standard doesn't drop any other than when you're making four or five substitutions in a short space of time. Then obviously the game breaks up a little bit. But when he rotates the starting lineup, it's not really really changing too much. The manager seems full. He seems to have boxed into what we do. He seems to be aware of Scottish football. Went to Perth last week and he said, "Look, it's not going to be pretty. The pitch is awful." After the game, he said, "Look, we knew it wasn't going to be pretty, but we did put out the team to win that game." He seems to be very much a horses for courses man, rather than that's why starting 11 and bad an injury. That's what we're getting. The feel-good factor is 100% back. I mean, I'm trying to keep my feet on the ground, trying to take it a game at a time, trying to look no further than Kilmarnock on Wednesday, but it's really, really difficult because I agree with Heather. I wish we were playing Celtic on Wednesday. I really do, because I really think we would beat them easily and they would just implode because they are one heavy defeat against us away from just absolutely exploding.
Heather, that's right. Heather, I'm the only one out of all my pals that sees the right side of Glasgow, you know, the blue side. And I was chatting to them on Sunday night or Saturday night, and they were all saying it was a fix and all the rest of it. So I think we're really winding them up. So it's brilliant to see.
Connor, Heather makes a point about, obviously, she says she wishes it was Celtic. Unfortunately, it's not. It's Kilmarnock. But just to tie it in, you know, Kilmarnock's home record, 1-8. Drawn 4, lost 2. Celtic have won 9, drawn 3, lost 1. So, you know, the records at home aren't too dissimilar.
No, they're certainly not. And Kilmarnock are, you know, you can't deny Derek McInnes has done a terrific job at Killy. You know, we talk about it often enough on the Scottish Football Show, shameless plug there. And it won't be easy, but there's part of me that kind of feels, you know, in a way it kind of comes full circle as well, because, you know, it was Rugby Park, the first game of the season, and, you know, things started kind of going a bit wrong when they lost there. Now a chance to go back there midweek and go and sort of put them back in their box a little bit as well, you know, and get that one back on them. I know we did beat them at Ibrox, obviously, but listen, it won't be easy, you know, on that surface and the form that they've been in. It'll be a tricky game, but the way we're playing, it just doesn't worry me as much as it maybe would have done 5 or 6 months ago. I feel very, very confident in getting a result, you know, against Kilmarnock, and hope, you know, long may I continue. You've got to remember we've got them, and then Saturday we're at home to Motherwell. They've got to go away to Tynecastle at the weekend. And trust me, if there's a game they can drop points in, they can, you know, you can see Hearts getting something in that all day long. So, you know, but we've just got to keep ticking the boxes, get our job done, and it doesn't matter what anybody else does.
Heather, I hope you enjoyed your first time on the pod. Do call again, all right? Cheers.
Will do. Thanks, guys.
No bother. Cheers. You know, I see Wilf shaking his head there vociferously. We'll come back to that, Wilf. Brian, just to come back to the point before the caller came on, and as I say, 01416287237, you could follow Heather. Maybe you haven't called before, don't be scared, get involved. It's a good time to call, you could be next on. So, Brian, we were talking about Ridvan Yilmaz there, and we got cut short, but I was just sort of saying that I thought it was his best 90 minutes. You sort of said, you know, he's growing and growing in a Rangers jersey.
Absolutely. Game by game, he's getting better. He's looking more solid. He's not scared of a tackle. He's going forward. He's willingly going forward, looking for, you know, going down the wing or, you know, the overlap. But no, the wee guy's playing tremendous, and it's just great to see a fullback flying, you know, a left back flying, like, you know, like probably when Borna first arrived, he was doing that. So of course, with Borna being a little bit older and struggling leggy-wise, he's not getting up and down the pitch like he used to, and it's great to have the options on both sides now, because obviously we've had to have him one side and Ridvan and the other. So it's great to have the options of both fullbacks being, you know, offensively sort of minded and getting involved. So, you know, and I think Ridvan scored as well this year. So, you know, he's not scared to have a shot either.
Would you think though he's getting better with his delivery into the box? And you've got to say he's defending on Saturday. The Atkinson was having a torrid time against him. He just could not get past him.
No. And I think somebody in the comments said, you know, he locked down the left back sort of side, because nobody, both wingers or Shankland that was down that side, just couldn't get any change out of him. And that's just credit to him. And you know, he's obviously had a sticky time, obviously with injuries. He's had a great start, and you know, but you know, as Paul says there, he's never lost a header and won every tackle. I mean, that's, as a defender, that's all you can ask. As a manager, sorry, that's all you can ask of a defender, is to do his job. And he's doing tremendous. And I mean, for what is he, 22, 23? I mean, we bought him for a lot of money, and it would have been madness to get rid of him. Absolute madness, and I'm glad we didn't.
Listen, I've listened to Lewis going for months about Ridvan Yilmaz. He never stops. And I messaged him on my way home on Saturday. Obviously, I wasn't driving at that point. I pulled in safe. I messaged him and just sort of said, I've converted. He was fantastic. And I just think this is it. He just needs that run of games. And he's getting that under the manager. And he's obviously giving him that belief as well. So just great to see. I don't want him shooting back to Turkey anytime soon. Wilf, I did see you shaking your head, not at the last caller that the producer was, you know, intimating. Was obviously at the comment about, you know, Celtic and Hearts and what Connor had said.
Yeah, I just have this belief that they don't drop points when you expect it, and people are thinking, well, they can go to Tynecastle and drop points. It'd be great if they did. I just, because people are expecting it to do it, I don't think they will. But a lot of that will depend on how Hearts got on Wednesday night against Hibs. Because if they beat Hibs handy, that might put them back on the bike, so to speak. Might put them back straight and narrow. But if they struggle against Hibs, I think Celtic will probably beat them quite handily. But we don't need to bother about what they do. We just need to keep winning games of football. You know, we beat Kilmarnock, and then not looking too far ahead, we then beat Motherwell. We're back to 5 points ahead of them minimum before they kick a ball again on Sunday. So let's see how they handle the pressure, because it won't be easy for them at Tynecastle. It is a difficult place to go. They'll only have 572 fans or whatever it is. Super allocation as the Hearts are giving them, same as they give us. So I just don't expect them to lose points on Sunday, but it would be absolutely delightful if they do, particularly because I'll be in Gorgie at the time. But yeah, we'll wait and see. I'll have to emphasize, I'm not going to the game. I'm going down.
I'm going to see. We're going to see at Tynecastle.
I'm going to the Rangers ladies game at Meadowbank, so I'm going down with my missus, save us taking two cars.
There you go. Come on, get up to speed, Connor. Right, delighted to say we've got another caller on the line. James, channel member, he's called up to make a point. James, welcome to the Rangers Rabble podcast.
How's it going, guys?
Ah, great, mate. Listen, delighted you've joined us. What's your point?
I was just saying that I would like, obviously, the progression of Rangers is looking great so far. With the likes of, like, Tavernier, he's playing phenomenal under the manager. But what I would like to see him is maybe push forward as, like, a midfielder and then a winger, then put Sterling Dijon in his natural position as right back, because, obviously, as we're evolving through the season, Tav isn't got to be there, and Dijon Sterling must be the answer to Tav. And I would love to see him play in that position for a good few games and maybe see Tav just push forward. Because I actually think Tav would be more explosive going forward as a midfielder or as a winger.
Connor, does that solve a problem or create a problem, do you think?
I'm sure if you'd done that, that Sterling would be absolutely solid and would do the business, because that's what he's been doing wherever he's been. Personally, I think it kind of seeks to solve a problem that's not really there. Look, I know Tav's had his critics when it comes to the sort of defensive side, the defensive side of the game. But right now, we're in a good place and it seems to be absolutely working fine. Tav's getting up and down the line just fine. He's still whipping balls in the box. The goals we have conceded in any recent games, none of them have came from Tavernier's side. Not one of them have been necessarily on him. They've been either sort of those long balls over the top or, the sort of the goal that County managed to get as well, which is a sort of ball over the top as well. So, I mean, yeah, you could do that, and it would be interesting to see it. But if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know.
Would you agree with that? James, would you know, are we trying to sort of, you know, put, what is it, square pegs and round holes?
Yes and no. The reason why I'm thinking that is, like, how much years does Tav have left in him, belting up and down that wing from right back down, you know? And also, like, Dijon Sterling, I think he's class, and he's been used in various positions, but I want to see him at right back doing his duty there. And I just want to see Merrim, because at the moment he's my favourite player at the moment. And maybe that's why I'm pushing for it.
I was going to say, Brian, I think James has got a wee bit of bias there with Dijon Sterling. But to go back to the captain, I thought he was really good at the weekend. He has one where I think first half he stings the palms as Ander Clark from distance. He wasn't pulled out of position that I can remember. Defended well, and I thought he had a really good game.
Yeah, solid. You know, Tav doing Tav things, and you know, if he's not scoring, he's keeping it solid. But I mean, again, it's so difficult to sort of give Tav any grief, because he's been so useful for us in the sense of, you know, assists or goals, and I get that he's obviously a defender, and if he makes a mistake, then it's amplified, because defenders and goalkeepers, if they make mistakes, it looks, and you know, looks worse, obviously, because it leads to a goal conceded, you know. But no, he's playing really well, and it's just a joy. And, you know, it's just so nice to see everybody buzzing and everybody, like, very positive. I mean, that you know, the last game of the previous manager against Aberdeen, if you'd said that we'd be in this position now, back then, I would have never have believed you, but here we are.
Robert, just to pick up on James's point, it's not something I thought about until he made it, but obviously Tav's not going to go on forever, and we'd like to think that Dijon Sterling will be here for a few years, so it wouldn't be beyond the realms of possibility for the manager to, in a game, for example, like last Saturday when we're comfortable at half time, to take Tav off and give him a rest. And rather than putting a right back in for him, put Sterling into right back if he's on the park at the time and replace Sterling and whatever he's playing. So say Sterling's playing out on the left, bring on somebody to replace him on the left, take Tav off and put Sterling in there. You know, just to give it a try. Rather than pushing Tav forward, because it gives Tav a break as well. But it also does, as James says, just see what Dejan gives us at left back.
James, just before I let you go, would you agree with right JD's point? Would you agree with JD's point there that we should let Sterling drive the team bus to Rugby Park?
Maybe. Maybe. I mean, it would be good to see him in right back at some point. Obviously, I get everyone's point, and I do love our captain as much as everybody else. But going forward, maybe, like I say, the smaller games, there's no small games at the moment, but I would like to see him and how he does at right back, and maybe give Tav a rest at, like, at half time or something. That would be probably a better show.
Listen, James, thanks for your call. Do call again, mate. All right, thanks very much.
All right, thank you very much, boys. Bye-bye.
Good night, bye-bye. Okay, then. I'm just going to sort of draw a line under Hearts for a moment. Listen, do you want to call up and talk about it again? 0141-628-7237. It's been a great night for calls tonight. I must say, you are all in fine fettle. Conor, I'll come to you on this. I saw a graphic today just talking about the spine of the side being a bit older. But then the players that surrounding that, Clement seems to be adding a lot of youth. You look at the age of some of the guys we brought in, 20-year-old. So it seems to be we're building something for the future. You hear him talking about, I think it was his last press conference or the press conference before that, he mentioned the best team he played in was a team that had been together for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, you build, obviously, particularly when it's, you get young players there coming through as well, where you build a natural sort of harmony with each other and that togetherness when you've been side by side for a few years, and you know you've met maybe a bit of adversity and pulled through it, and that's what happens. That's the nature. I think that's the strongest teams you see are teams that have been able to do that and gel well together. And I think that's why you see, you know, there's instances of it in our squad. I think you can see, for example, with Tavernier and Goldson, you know, they've played together for years at Rangers, and you can see just with the two of them, the spirit that they've got together, you know, and trying to be leaders as well, because they understand, having been through some of the worst times since they've been there and been through some brilliant times, they know, you know, how to kind of deal with that now. And I think you get that by building that. Obviously, some of the younger guys as well that, you know, get players out on loan who come back in. And part of the model is always going to be you bring players that you can pull through the academy, build them into real good players for the future. And then at some point, you know, it's the old club trading model. You get them out the door, you get good money in for them, and then the cycle goes on. And, you know, we need to keep doing that. I think our academies maybe lacked that at times in recent years, if you were going to pick at something we've maybe not quite sorted out completely. But having said that, you know, we've got good players, young players coming up. Bailey Rice, I know the gaffer is quite a big fan of his. You know, Zach Lovelace, I believe he's just come back from his injury, hasn't he? He's just made appearances for the B team recently. Adam Devine, who personally I thought actually had a really good game against Celtic yesterday at Firth Park. He had a decent performance in there as well. So, you know, there's a lot of positive signs. And I do think that we are going to look to build for the future. And, you know, I think in the summer you'll see some of that as well when he gets more of his players in the door. And I'm sure there'll be a couple more young ones to come through.
Awesome. The recruitment's been spot on so far. It's an A star, as they say down in England, in terms of your grading. So I hope that continues. And I'm delighted to, or excited, should I say, to see what we do recruitment wise in the summer. Well, do you want to just answer that question quickly? Because somebody's interested in what you cut about Aberdeen in.
Yeah, I don't need to cut about Aberdeen and Rangers gear because I've got a poncho for wearing shorts, as all you guys know, and I've got a Rangers tattoo on my leg, so it's fairly obvious what I am, whether I'm wearing Rangers gear or not. But I do tend to wear a lot of Rangers gear about the place. So yeah, and as Mike says in the comments here, if he stays in Aberdeen, wears Rangers colours, it's not as bad up here as they seem to think it is. So, because they're all on their own, they're all cowards. So yeah, it's fine.
I love that use, Brian, there, the word penchants, was it? Oh, it's brilliant, wasn't it?
Penchant,
yeah. Was that Clement inspired, was it? That was lovely. Absolutely lovely. No. Okay.
And if you listen to the women's pod from last night, you'll hear me talking about players caressing balls into the corner. Footballs, that is, of course.
Right, we're in thin ice here. We're in thin ice. We're not past 9 o'clock. Okay. Brian, I want to talk about shooting from outside the area, because the manager says it's something we've been practicing for months. He said it's something that we're trying to get to become a natural way of playing, something they don't have to think about. They just have a go. Whether it's getting in the back of the net or we're getting, you know, the chance on the rebound, it's certainly becoming fruitful.
Very much so. And I think that's something that we've been, you know, shouting from the stands for a long time is, you know, we've had plenty sort of chances of somebody having a shot from outside the box, and they use the ticky-tacky, and, you know, instead of just hitting it, they use the ticky-tacky and, oh, well, I might find somebody better. Just hit it. I mean, John Lundstrom was probably the only one before Clement came in that would have a dig from outside the box. Now you've got sort of Lawrence when he's fit, Lundstrom, Diamandi's obviously not scared now. I think Cortez as well. So, and, you know, there's a few others you could say that they're not scared to have a dig, and that's... If you don't buy a ticket, you won't win the lottery. So at the end of the day, as you say, it might come up, but you might get a deflection off the goalkeeper, defender, and into the goal. You might get a rebound. You never know. But if you get a chance, have a dig, because it sometimes pays off.
Absolutely. Okay. We are into the home straight. So get your calls in 0141 628 7237. The producer's going mad about Saints tonight. We've had a fish in water, and we've had if you don't buy a ticket, you don't win the lottery. Apparently it's raffle. So if you get any other Saints you want to find for the last 10 minutes, do get them in the comments. 0141 628 7237. We can squeeze another couple in. Come on, where are you? Well, if I want to talk about actually the recruitment, in particular Diamandi, but it seemed to be we tracked him for quite a while, according to the manager, when I heard him talking after the game on Saturday, saying that it's, I don't know whether he meant him and Coppin per se, or he meant the football club, but it's nice to see we're doing our homework, and it's not just that, you know, plucking a name out, there's a guy in the form, where actually there's a bit of studying going on behind it.
Yeah, I was a bit confused by that when he said we've been tracking him for 2 or 3 years. Whether the we is the football club, or whether the we is him, or whether the we is the director of football, but it's nice that they've gone back and revisited it, because if you go back to the previous manager, he had been chasing players for 2 or 3 years and seemed to take them on the form they were in 2 or 3 years ago, and they just didn't work. You know what I mean? They hadn't some of the signings that he made from that he'd been chasing for a while. But yeah, it's good that they are doing their due diligence, as they call it. The one that came out over the weekend that I was really, really, really delighted to hear was when Jack Butland said that there was a very brief conversation about, do you want to go? And he went, no, I'm staying. And the agent said, his agent said to him, good, that's a good answer, that's the right thing to do in the club, but we're not fucking selling you anyway. But you know what I mean? But the fact that Butland went, look, there's work to be done here, there's things to finish here, that he doesn't want to go. You know, because he must have had offers that would have given him more money. So the fact that he's come out straight away and went, his first reaction was, no, I'm not interested. You know? And it's also quite encouraging that he said that the team were away on like a team event on transfer deadline day, which meant they must all have been comfortable in the fact that none of them were leaving. Because you wouldn't go away on a team, I don't know if it was a team bonding, team building, or just like a team event, but he said it was a team event. So you wouldn't take everybody away on a team event if there was chances that one or two of them would be leaving in a hurry. So that's quite encouraging as well, the fact that all the players obviously knew what was going on.
There was comments actually from Butland, interesting you bring him up, because he'd said about the manager, and there'd been a perception of Philip Clement maybe ruling by an iron fist to a degree, but he said that the manager was not like that in terms of managing the group. He was more about tactical nous and managing them one-to-one. So it was interesting to hear those comments, Brian, that the manager is actually taking a different tact with the press and the media to us with his group of players.
Yeah, I think he's obviously portraying his character one way in the press, and then he's got a totally different one with the players, and that's fine by me. If everybody else thinks he's a sort of tyrant and a dictator, then that's fine by me. As long as he's getting a tune out of these players, that's all that matters. But I mean, it's going back to what Butland was speaking about. You know, he realised that, you know, the size of the club when it was, I think it was Al McGregor's testimonial, and he looked up and he seen the sort of love that McGregor was getting. He actually said, "You could have a bit of this if you hang around," and that's the sort of thing you love to hear. A guy coming up from down south, and you know, a high profile, well, once a high profile player down there in England, then getting a chance up here, and he's obviously loving life, and he's seen that the sort of the way that we treat sort of McGregor and the love we had for him. So I think he's here for a while yet. Don't think he's going anywhere.
Well, we'll talk of people being here for a while. John's on the line and he's about to throw a cat amongst the pigeons. John, welcome to the Rangers Rabble podcast.
Hello, good evening, gentlemen. How are you all tonight? You all look resplendent in your blue.
Oh, thanks very much, mate.
Well, my wee point tonight is about success. As we all know, Big Phil talks about game management, game to game. He doesn't look ahead. It's always just about the next game. All the talk about, oh, do you see he's winning the league and everything else and everything's going really well. My point is, like the gravy monster on the other side of the city, as soon as a big cheque was flashed in his face, off he went, obviously leaving them the success that they had. Now, I'm sure like you, we win the treble this season. We do well in Europe. And then the teams from down south who've got a far bigger budget than us come calling with the big chequebooks. Do you think Phil will be tempted to go, or do you think he sees Rangers as more of a long-term, I don't want to say prospect, because we're not a prospect here, but a long-term thing that he wants to do? He wants to stay for a few years to see how well we can do in Europe, to see how many trophies he can win us. I know Martin said there, and I forgot about this, that he was tempted by Saudi Arabia. But let's face it, Saudi Arabia is not anything than Glasgow Rangers. So I'm just wondering what you think about that.
Connor, first and foremost, there's got to be an offer on the table, but hypothetically, do you think he's here for the long haul? You think in his own head he's building a project? You know, he's had back-to-back-to-back titles, I believe, and he's native Belgium. That might be something he could taste here if he sticks at it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't want to wish him away. I think that the reality is that the more successful he is at us, then, you know, John is right to say that bigger clubs down south will start pulling out the money bags and trying to bring them down there. And that's the nature of the beast. But I don't see that happening anytime soon. I think he's almost certainly here at least until the end of next season. You know, hopefully longer, but you never know, because if he is getting the levels of success that we all hope he does, you know, if he does win a treble this year, which there's every chance he could do. But again, don't want to jinx it, so we'll go far too far down there. But then clearly that will raise some eyebrows, given what he's actually inherited when he came in. To turn it around and do that would be incredible. And I think he is a manager that's held in some high stock, particularly obviously in Belgium and stuff as well. So, but I think enjoy him while we've got him. And I'm pretty sure we've got him at least for the next year or two.
Robert, I think he's bought right. I think Phil Clement's bought right into Rangers. I mean, he keeps saying, and he says it on a regular basis, that at the last club he was at, which was Monaco, he didn't have the synergy with the supporters. There was nothing about the club, because Monaco, they're a well-funded club, but they've got about four supporters in that pitch on top of that car park they've got over there in Monte Carlo, you know. And he said, look, you wanted the synergy back 4 months down the line. We're playing a big part in this as supporters, because he's got us back on side. He's reveling in the fact he's got us back on side. Right? And I think that's going to be massive to keep him at the club for, it depends how you define a period of time. I mean, somebody put in the comments 2 or 3 years, that's probably about right. I don't think he would walk away this summer, supposing he won everything. I don't think he'd walk away this summer, because he could get big offers from wealthier clubs in, for example, English Premiership. But he's not stupid. He knows he won't get the backing of the fans that he gets at Rangers, because there's no other club like Rangers. And I think he kind of realises that. So, you know, I don't think he's obviously not going to be here forever and a day, but he does seem to like it here, and he likes the club. It seems to be a project. I think he's here for the let's call it the medium term.
John, I would just say, much like the manager, much like the players that come in, we've just got to enjoy them while we're here. There can't be any room for sentiment. We've got to just enjoy them while we're here and get the best out of them while we're here. And hopefully that brings us as much success as we deserve.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it would just be nice to... not security, but just think, well, if he is here for another 2 or 3 years, then that brings a lot of stability. And as well said, the other supporters will love that, because we don't want someone else coming in who's a bit of an unknown, who changes things. And obviously that can happen, because the way we're playing just now is more like Rangers. I mean, I've been watching Rangers since about 1972, and I've seen some tremendous teams who played good attacking football. And it breaks your heart when you see things like Beale and Van Bronckhorst for getting us to play like you're going, come on. And Clement's brought that back. And long may it stay, you know what I mean? Because we're just destroying teams, and hopefully for the rest of the season we can keep doing that.
John, thanks for your call. Pleasure. Well,
thanks.
Cheers.
Thanks very much for your answers, guys. No bother. Talk to you again. Take care.
See you later on. Right, just before we call it a night, I do want to talk about Kilmarnock, because obviously we've got a podcast build-up and reaction on Wednesday night. I'm going to come to you, Conor, because obviously you do the Scottish Football Show alongside me, and we'll talk about the opposition, actually, and what to expect, and I'll get the guys' views on team selection as well. But just in terms of the game on Wednesday night, it's probably a toughest task to date, I would say, since the winter break. Kilmarnock are in really good form. We've also already mentioned that home form on the call with Heather earlier on, and they've actually got quite a decent squad and a bit of an identity now.
They do. There's no getting away from that, and there's certainly players in the Kilmarnock squad that can hurt you. You know, obviously Danny Armstrong is there. He's been in good form. You know, they brought in Van Veen, they've still got Vassell, and Davey Watson, who it was that got the goal at Parkhead last week. So, you know, yes, absolutely. But to me, irrespective of how Kilmarnock play, if Kilmarnock go out and play at their best, as long as if we turn up in the way that we did on Saturday there, then we should have absolutely no problem getting past them. It will obviously be different, yes, because as you say, you're on that pitch, it's never easy to go and play there and get results there. And to be fair, Kilmarnock will have absolutely no fear, because they have been a thorn in the side of both of the Old Firm teams this season, it has to be said. So, you know, I expect it to be a tough game, but I still expect us to win that game. And then I think that the positive for us is, if we get by that game, you know, the next sort of 3 or 4 games after that, and the build-up to the Old Firm at the start of April are, you know, I don't want to say easier games, but aren't as
favourable.
They're more favourable. So this is really a big game, really, in terms of if there's going to be a banana skin, this could be it. But I don't see it. I really don't. I think we're just in too good a form right now. And I think we will go there and set right what we didn't do at the start of the season and take the 3 points and get it back up the road.
Brian, you've been like a giggling schoolboy at some of these comments tonight. You have. I'll get you back into the conversation. Just regarding team selection, now we've spoken about he likes to keep us on our toes. We don't know who's going to be playing game to game, but I just want you to give me a good stab at what you think he will go with.
I would, I would imagine that same back four. I would like to see that stay. I would like, obviously, Lundstrom and Diamandé to still be there with Sterling. I'd like, obviously, Sterling and Lundstrom there, just as, because if I remember rightly, Connor, you might correct me, that obviously Killie are quite a robust team, can we say? So having a bit of steel with them two in the middle will hopefully repel that. And then I think Silva will play. I think he rotates the strikers, you know, game on game. So I think Silva will play up top. I'd like to see Cortez let loose again, because I just love the guy, really do. Never thought I'd like a Colombian so quick after Morelos, but here we are. But no, as long as that sort of midfield three are there, because I think Diamandis is just coming onto a game, and I would like Sterling and Lundstrom as a bit of sort of stealing that sort of midfield. And just for Sterling, it's just general energy as well. He's just so sort of, he's just full of beans and he just won't stop, and that would be great for a game like Kilmarnock.
Well, is there any chance at all that we'll see Silva and Dessers start the game? Maybe Silva in the 10 with Dessers up top, or is that just pie in the sky?
I thought he might have done that on Saturday against Hearts. I said that on Friday, that's what I thought he might have tried that. I don't think we'll see it from the start. I'm not saying it won't happen during the game. He did a little bit of it for about 10 minutes on Saturday when he put Silva on. I think that was the first time the two of them were on the pitch together. I don't think it will start that way, no. Brian's probably just about nailed the start team, although he only gave us 10 players. But I mean 10 players should be enough to beat Kilmarnock anyway. But no, I think I agree. I think Silva will start and Dessers will come off the bench this time. I think there's more chance of seeing Silva in the 10 and Dessers through the middle when Roof's a bit fitter, because he tends to swap the strikers for each other, apart from Saturday when he didn't. And if he's got Ruth, if you can maybe get half an hour out of Ruth, he might then go with Silva in the 10, Dessers centre forward, and then after an hour take Dessers off and put Ruth on. Or Lovelace, if Lovelace is getting back fit. I mean, he played, as you touched on earlier, he played today in the B team's win against Dundee. Missed a penalty as well, did Zach, but that's one of those things, I guess. Ruth scored, which is encouraging. And it was good that the Rangers Twitter account, but it was a pre-planned substitution when Roof went off, so he was only ever getting 45 minutes. So that's 45 minutes in his legs. So I'd be surprised to see Roof involved on Wednesday, given the pitch that we're playing on. But you never know. But no, I don't think we'll see the two of them start the game, Silva and Dessers. Not yet. Not till Roof's a bit fitter.
Okie dokie, lads. That was a good shift. I really enjoyed that. Great calls, some great comments as well. Brian has never laughed so much in his life. He's going to go to bed a happy man. Listen, we are back Wednesday night. Build up the action as a touchstone. Thursday night, there's a Scottish football review show at the midweek fixture card. You've got your Friday night pod as always. And then Saturday, you get a build up reaction from Motherwell. So we're absolutely jam-packed. Make sure you get the notifications on and don't miss us. Delighted. Yeah, cheers for your company tonight, gentlemen. It's been a pleasure. Wilf, Connor, Brian, and we'll see you again on Wednesday. Cheers. Podcast Network.